From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. It's the Washington State Park System's 100th birthday, but it may not be an entirely happy one. Washington Parks started off the year with $0 from the state. Both the Senate and House have budget proposals that give more than zero, but the Parks Commission says that under the less generous Senate plan, some state parks will likely close. State parks are supposed to be moving from a state-funded model to a user-funded model, funded by the annual Discover Pass that's for purchase. Problem is, not enough people are buying it. The Discover Pass has brought in less than half the money they had expected it to. Do you use state parks? Did you buy a Discover Pass? Give me a call at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. What do you think about this idea that state parks should rely on user fees? Now, some would say it's more fair because those who use the parks pay for them. Others believe state parks are a core responsibility of the state. What about you? It's 800-289-5869 or write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Or maybe you've just got some questions about the park system. With us to answer ours are the Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission Chair, Roger Schmidt. The commission was an appointed body established to oversee the park system, and Roger's been on the commission since 2009. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tell us what's happened to the state park system since you joined back in 2009.
Well, I joined at an auspicious time because it was right about that time that we were suffering from the recession and the effect that it had on state revenues. And so that was the period when we began having reductions in our state tax support. We went from a figure of $95 million in the 9/11 biennium. We have a two-year budget. We went from $95 million down to almost $42 million in the following biennium, 11/13. This year is $17 million. So we've gone from 95 down to 17 in 4 years. And the zeroing out was for the upcoming biennium.
And it looks like that's not going to happen. But as we'll talk about, it still might be fairly dire for the parks. So that's kind of inputs. What are outputs? When you go to state parks or you talk to people who've gone to state parks under this reduced funding for state parks, what do they notice?
Well, I think the biggest thing that many people will notice is we have fewer rangers on duty to handle resource issues, crowd control issues. We had to reduce our ranger staff from full-time to part-time as a way to deal with some of these cuts. We've worked very hard to not close parks. Instead, we've cut budgets, we've reduced staff time, and we've went from almost 600 employees down to 400 employees as a way to meet those reductions without having to close any parks.
And what's it mean when there aren't rangers? Are the trails not maintained? Do people see things and notice things when it doesn't have that level of staff support?
I think all of those things. There are fewer rangers there to handle issues if the public has questions or if there's a law enforcement issue, dogs off leash, for instance, being unable to be there as often to enforce it. Probably less resource management stuff gets done because they're focusing more on the Discover Pass enforcement and administration of that. So I think there's less visibility from rangers and other staff. In addition, we don't have the funding to keep the facilities at the level that we feel we'd like to keep it for the future.
Mm-hmm. And what's that mean? Like, what? Give an example of a facility that's not kept up the way you would like it to be.
Well, we don't perhaps spend the kind of resources we need to for a restroom upkeep. If some of our facilities are deteriorating and we have a huge backlog of maintenance needs, and some of that won't get done. Some of the maintenance staff that are available to do that are gone now, so there is less chance for people to be available as often. During the week, perhaps, when they would have been otherwise. So we've had to move people around and try to be there during the busy periods and maintain the best service we can, but it still shows that the people aren't there when they have been in the past, and I think the public notices that.
And if you're someone who uses the state parks and you've noticed what the budget going from 95 to 41 million has meant, what the number of staffing dropped by a third to 400 has meant for Washington State Parks, give us a call, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. And what do you think should happen because of it? And maybe you just got a question about state parks. Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission Chair Roger Schmidt is my guest. You can also write to us, conversation at KUOW.org. Now, this year, it seems like it's kind of a good news, bad news story. After the budget was kind of on a glide plane to zero, the idea was that it should be privately funded, but apparently that's not working so well. And both the Senate and the House are putting up some funding for their budgets this year. So there's probably a fairly good chance that there'll be some money going to parks. But if the Senate budget passes, I understand you're concerned about parks closing.
Yeah, that's correct. When I testified before Senate Ways and Meeting, Ways and Means Committee, I made it very clear that the budget that they have currently allocated $16 million, that is a reduction from where we're at right now. And we feel that given that number, we would seriously have to look at closing parks. And as I said, we've worked very hard not to do that. When you start closing parks, you start reducing places people can go. The demand for Discover Passes may fall off because people don't go to their local parks, so they don't buy a Discover Pass. And we get into this what we call a fiscal spiral, where we start spiraling down. The more parks you close, the fewer Discover Passes you sell. The fewer Discover Passes you sell, the more problems we have, the less revenue we have to provide for operational support.
Now, last August, the Parks Commission made a statement that state parks can't be self-sustaining. I mean, that was the idea, that they could be. Why can't they be?
We looked at that. The governor asked us to be self-sustaining 100%, and the legislature went along with that. We looked at that, and it just, the nature of what we do as a state agency, we provide stewardship services. We provide forest health services. We provide a lot of natural resource management services. Those are things you can't charge money for. And so we felt it would be unfair to ask the Discover Pass purchaser to pay for all those ancillary things that we do that is part of our responsibility and our mission, to pay for that in the long term to cover it. So we said, even in the short term, for sure we can't. And in the long term, we shouldn't have to. We're a state agency. We feel that there are state resources that should be allocated to managing our state parks. They provide tremendous value to the public.
Are there any other state park systems that are getting by without any state money?
I don't think there are any left out there. I know that in earlier years, I know New Hampshire was pretty self-supporting, but I doubt there's one out there now that's self-supporting.
And I want to get into why it is that that's difficult to do. But first, Rich is on the line from Renton. And Rich, it looks as though you spend some time in state parks.
Yeah, we go camping every year up by Lake Cochise.
And have you noticed the state parks deteriorating because of this reduction in funding that we've been talking about?
Oh, absolutely. I was just saying earlier last year we went camping, and we had planned on, you know, taking garbage bags and stuff to take care of our own garbage. But what happened was we spent 2 hours before we even set up camp cleaning up the mess from the people before us.
Because there was so much garbage there just left behind that had never gotten picked up.
Exactly. And it didn't seem like, you know, when we looked around and tried to find you know, public receptacles to put the waste in, there, you know, they were overflowing. There was no one to, I'm assuming, to empty them, of course.
Now, the idea here is that people would purchase these Discover Passes, and that would kind of make up the difference in the lack of state funds. I assume, Rich, you have a Discover Pass?
Oh, of course.
Tell me what it is and how it works.
It was pretty easy. We bought it at a sporting goods store, you know, while picking up our camping gear, and it was very easy to get. We just, you know, leave it on your dash, and that, of course, proves that you paid for it.
So it's like a parking pass, kind of.
Exactly. You hang it from your rearview mirror. It lasts for an entire year, and it's ridiculously cheap for what you get.
How much did you pay for yours?
I think last year it was less than $20.
Less than $20 for you. Hey, Rich, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. We're talking about state parks and their centennial year facing some real budget issues. Now, the projected revenues from this Discover Pass from Washington State University were much higher than you ended up bringing in. Why were they so off? I mean, supposedly, at least on paper, it looked like this would work.
Well, I don't know why the survey showed more than what we actually are experiencing in terms of revenue. But it got rolled out in a real big hurry. We were given a month to 2 months to get this thing started. Department of Licensing had to gear up their system. The Fish and Wildlife sells it through the WILD program. They all had to gear up to sell it. And we didn't have a lot of time to really prepare the public and market it in advance like we would like to have had. So it's fairly new. And we feel over time as we move forward with some additional funding that we've asked for to help us in the marketing program, that we'll see increases. But the amount we are getting is pretty substantial compared to other states.
What's it bringing in, roughly?
We're bringing in this biennium, about $26 million. It was estimated at $56 million. Mm-hmm. So it's considerably below what the estimate was.
And it's not meeting your expectations, but is it going up year after year, or is it flat or going down?
It's been so new. We've only had a couple of years to really gauge it, but we've seen it sort of drop a little bit after the first year because of some changes to the law with allowing two passes per family instead of one. And you can put two vehicles on a pass now. I think that had a little bit of a drop in. But it's fairly level right now, we think. And we hope in our efforts to do outreach to the public that we can let the public know how valuable our parks are and that we'll see more increases in the sales of those.
Now, the House and the Senate are putting some money forward. We just talked about why the Senate bill might not be sufficient. But has the legislature kind of acknowledged what the commission has been saying, the self-sustaining model doesn't work? Is this move by the legislature this year getting the state back into funding parks, or are they just going to give you some more time to get your entrepreneurial chops together and have them pay for themselves?
That's a good question. Our goal all along, as I mentioned earlier, we don't feel we can be self-sustaining in the future. And we have been arguing, discussing with the legislature and the governor's office that point. And we feel that this is a recognition, when you look at both budgets for the House and Senate, it's a recognition that they understand that we are a state agency that has to have some base of public support through tax monies.
Now, the governor has a budget out, too. Is there money in that for state parks?
Yes, there's money in the governor's budget. His budget was around $24 million for state parks. State parks asked for $27 million mm-hmm. because we wanted to have some funding in there to help us in our outreach, raising additional revenues, marketing. The governor gave us $24. The Senate has given us $16 in their budget, and the House was identical to the governor's at $24.
We got this email to conversation@kuow.org from JC, who says, how can you possibly enforce Discover Passes? The park near my house, Saltwater in Des Moines, has people walking into it from about five different access points all the time.
It is a problem in a lot of our parks. We do not have restricted access for most parks. So we really have to rely upon educating the public that if they want those resources to be there for the future, that they should be willing to buy that $30 pass a year. We feel there's great value in that. California, it's $175. So we're pretty reasonable. And we feel that those people that park outside and want to go jogging in the park or want to go visit the park from outside, that they'll think twice about that value they have and not want to lose it, and they'll buy a pass in the future. But we can't totally enforce it from the outside.
Sounds like our pledge drive last week where where you can't get people to pay for public radio, and you can't. It sounds as though, I mean, getting the enforcement you'd need to block all those access points would be prohibitively expensive. You're just basically asking for people to acknowledge it's the need and pay willingly.
Yeah, it's educating the public to the value that they're getting from that.
Let's go to Sheila, who's listening to us today in Renton. Sheila, thanks for giving us a call. What do you think about this idea that the parks should strive to be self-sustaining? They should be entrepreneurial.
Well, it's frustrating in that our parks, it's a blanket statement for me, that the parks become there for the wealthy. Our parks aren't there for our citizens. And I believe strongly that they should be paid for with state funding. I know it's difficult because of the recession and finding the funding, but at the same time, our population needs a place to go when we don't have money. We need to have resources available to us. When our income is low, it was always a place you could go. You could take your children, a place that we could come together without a large expense. And at this point, it's not a free place to go. It's not a place we could come together.
But Sheila, let me just stop you there. Is it that large an expense? We just heard someone say it was like $20 for a pass for the year. I mean, does that restrict state parks to the wealthy? That sounds like not a lot of money to me.
It's $30 a year.
Okay.
And if you don't have an income, it is a lot. And when you come back around to bringing people together, having outdoor resources, isn't it better to have outdoor resources for every person, even those who have to live in the city, a place to go for their physical well-being?
Sure.
Isn't it something that our state should support?
No, it's a very good point. It's the idea that state parks really perform a function for all of us and should be part of the state responsibility and payment for it. Sheila, thank you very much for making that. With me in the studio to talk about this is the chair of the State Parks Commission, Roger Schmidt. Is that $30 keeping people from going to state parks?
I don't think so. There are people who feel that they are paying their state taxes through various sources, and they shouldn't have to pay another $30, but people don't understand yet, and it's part of what we have to do to educate people, is that the tax monies they're paying are no longer allocated to parks. And so if they want that resource to be there for the future, for today and for tomorrow, then we're asking them to pay a really small amount of money, in our opinion, to have access to those resources.
Let's go to Dave, who's listening to us today in Ballard. Dave, you can't find out where to pay?
Well, yeah, I have a pass myself, but sometimes I've had relatives that want to come up and go hiking in our mountains, and they can't either find a place at the actual site to pay for either a single use, or, I mean, should people traveling to Washington or people that are unsure if they're going to use a pass for the whole year, should they still try to invest in the year's pass, or is there a way to maybe pay at the park so if we're there or they don't?
Yeah.
Really, they're not familiar with it.
That's a good question. Roger Schmidt, if you show up at the park, can you buy a pass there?
Most of our parks you can, particularly the larger parks. There are Iron Rangers that you can put your money in an envelope and drop it in the Iron Ranger, and you get a pass to put on your car. They're available through some of our offices, but there are some parks that are smaller parks, more rural perhaps, that don't have somebody on duty, and it's a little more difficult to get a pass. You can buy them online. You can buy them in local stores in many cases.
But sometimes, Dave's right, you show up at a park and it might not have a person there, so there's no one to even give the money to if you wanted to.
Yeah, it can be a challenge in some places, and we recognize that, and we're working on getting more of these Iron Rangers in place.
Iron Rangers. I love that. Does it look like an Iron Ranger?
Well, it's a metal box made out of iron that stands there that you can drop your envelope in.
So I'm telling you, if you put a head on it and some arms, I guarantee you're going to get more money put in that box.
They do not respond if you talk to them.
We're talking about the state parks and their centennial year. Now, state parks, city parks have all been under pressure, and I can recall having spoken to people in our state about this in the county about that, and they've tried to devolve the parks to city. Is there any thought of the states being able to turn over the parks to counties, to cities, to have them be responsible for them?
We've looked at that in the past, and we've done an analysis on all our parks and determined which ones we felt weren't necessarily of statewide significance, and we have transferred some parks.
Yeah.
Some 12 parks have been transferred to other entities. Fay-Bainbridge, Fort Ward on Bainbridge Island have both been transferred to the Metropolitan Park District there. We've transferred a couple to the tribes. Lake Osuyos was transferred to the city up there. So we've looked at those as a way to save some funds. And we will look at that in the future with partnerships with nonprofits and cities.
Roger, we're just getting started. I'll have to have you back again to talk more about this, maybe after the legislative session when we find out what they decided to do.
Be happy to.
Appreciate it. Roger Schmidt with us. He's a chair of the Washington State Parks and Recreation Commission.